Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Creamer Law Firm. Creamer Law, Business Law, CreamerLaw.com. And Des Moines Computer Repair. You want your computer to work, and that's what they do. DesMoinesComputerRepair.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. This is one of those topics that while you may not think it has anything to do with business, it has everything to do with business because there are so many individuals that are in this what's called sandwich generation. And many of those individuals are employed and working and need to find time to care for both ends of an aging spectrum. Our guest is Lynn Hilgenberg. She is the owner and consultant of Daylily. We'll find out what that is first, and then we'll get into a conversation about what the heck is a sandwich generation. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be here.
Welcome. Okay, what is Daylily?
Well, Daylily is a firm that I started to specifically work with consulting with families to help them deal with the aging population and aging care needs, as well as prepare facilities to better cope with Alzheimer's and dementia care.
Now, when you talk about all of the things that are wrapped up into helping people understand, what are some of the most common issues that people come to you about? What do I need to know?
The very first question I can consistently get asked is, how do I know when I need help?
Hmm.
How do I know when to step in and do something with mom or dad?
Mm-hmm.
That's the number one question.
And I would suspect that you're getting a lot of that.
I get it all the time. Yeah. When I used to own my home care company, we would oftentimes get phone calls from family that were here to visit and were shocked at the condition or changes in their loved one.
You know, and here's one of the things that so oftentimes, and we've talked about this ad infinitum here on the Business News Hour, families need to have these conversations well in advance of the crisis moment.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And if anything gets accomplished by us talking about this, I hope that is the one thing that comes out of this conversation,
yeah,
is it's never too early, either for the one that's beginning to age and might have some concerns and think that their kids can't help them, but also for the kids who are concerned about the aging loved one.
Now, one of the other issues that we face in this very mobile society is the fact that maybe mom or dad live here, but the kids might be spread out all over the United States. That in itself, I mean, who's watching over the farm, so to speak?
Most definitely. And oftentimes the only time they check on it is at a holiday or a special event or birthday. And then all of a sudden there's been 3 or 4 months that have gone by since they've seen mom or dad in their home environment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, especially if the couple is still together, what we find is there's a lot of codependency that happens.
Oh, sure there is.
And if there's dementia on board, we get a lot of covering from the other the other spouse.
Sure. And that's only natural because
mm-hmm.
everybody wants things to remain as similar and as much the same as possible. Nobody wants to go someplace else for care. They want to be able to be cared for in their home. All right. So we've set out the issue that's out there, and it is monstrous, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. You've heard us talk with others on this particular program about the impact that aging and aging services have here in Iowa and the lack of caregivers, and it goes on and on and on and on and on. But many times you, who may be listening to this, might be the caregiver, and that maybe the sandwich generation. What is the sandwich generation?
Well, the sandwich generation is defined. The original definition came out in the 80s, and mm-hmm. basically it was to indicate that that person was taking care of an elder, and they were also taking care of children, either in the home or recently exiting the home. Well, what we see now is the age of that generation has changed. In the 80s, it used to be the 30 to 40-year-old. Now it is the 40 to 60-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's beginning to cross generations a little bit. It's not as clearly demarked, but we have that problem. And we're taking care of our kids much longer into the life cycle than we used to. And it's a little more pricey than
yes.
maybe it used to be.
Yes, it is. And you're absolutely right on taking care of our children longer.
Mm-hmm.
30% of people in between the ages of 25 and 35 are somehow connected financially with their parents.
1 in 9, yeah, their parents are co-signed for their credit card.
Yeah, and all of those are economic realities that we have gotten from what? Well, we can start ticking them down. There has been inflation out there in housing. There's been inflation out there relative to student loans. Many of these young people have student loans that are way sky high. They can't get credit, or if they get credit, then that's high credit risk issues. Lots and lots of different things.
Well, so, and we can probably, as baby boomers, of which I'm at the very tail end of the second wave of baby boomers, in many ways we contributed to this by sharing a lot of affluence with our children, and they want to be able to live at that same level. So they come home to live for a much longer period of time, or we continue to support them away from home longer.
You took the words right out of the mouth of Lance Hansen, who is here regularly talking about the real estate issue. And he says he's constantly surprised at the number of young people who believe that they ought to be able to move into a home and establish a household at the same level or better than what their parents did.
Yeah. And they're not really happy unless it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It can be that way. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the sandwich generation, and this all has, doesn't it, an economic impact?
Well, it does. And, the baby boomer generation, what we're concerned about the most as we look at the economics of it all is that we have not been the best saving generation.
That's
we
true.
Have tended to earn our money, spend our money. And we may have been taking care of, I know I certainly did take care of both of my parents, and now we have my husband's parents in play here. We did that, and we did that at the expense of sometimes funding what we were going to need for retirement. Over half, or just about half, of the baby boomers are anticipating continuing to work well after 65, and not just because they like their job or their career choice.
Yeah.
About 47% of baby boomers also think that they can live off Social Security when the time comes, and Social Security was only planned to be 40% of your income.
Yeah, those are some real economic realities. Mm-hmm. And when you end up being in this sandwich generation where you're caring for mom or dad or someone else in close proximity to your family, as well as younger people, that has a real economic issue relative to employment.
Absolutely. If it's a daughter, which we have sometimes see happen, going and giving up her job and moving back to take care of a loved one, she now is no longer working at her peak earning time frame of her professional career.
All right. We've listed out a lot of problems. What's the answer?
Well, we need to start by not thinking we're going to get that same aid from our kids. And it isn't because they wouldn't be willing to. When we survey the Generation Xers and even the Ys, what we find out is they'd be happy to help mom or dad. Well, sure they would, but we already know as baby boomers how much help we've had to give them. And so we're afraid to even ask. And so we don't want them to burn up like we did all of that potential retirement money. So I think the beginning is we see to it that our Generation X and Yers know what we need, that we find ways to financially support ourselves in the meantime, but that we encourage at a very young age for them to begin to prepare for their
needs. Own retirement.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And from a policy perspective, I think we need to push businesses to do much more with those 401ks and our legislature folks to continue to allow that tax benefit to these retirement accounts and allowing people to fund maybe catch-up amounts longer into the retirement process.
Yeah, and we are seeing, as a matter of fact, we had a story just this week about in Germany, the Central Bank of Germany would like to raise the retirement age there to 69. It's already at 67 for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. And they say they would like to go to 69. We're seeing some of those same things here in this country. As far as tightness in jobs, older people are deciding to stay in their work environment for a longer period of time. That ceases to open up job opportunities for younger people. And there is some, animosity oftentimes there. Why don't you retire? Many of us, including myself, I just love what I do, and I can't
Me
play
as well.
Golf. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, exactly. So we're probably part of the problem, Lynn. but these are things that need to have open, honest dialogue between family members. Yes.
Yes, and I think those of us that are finding ourselves hedging toward that 65 and older, we need to be very clear about our wishes. We need to kind of clean up our own house earlier, not think that we can avoid it for a long period of time, because it's the train, it's coming down the track. We can get on it or we can get run over by it.
That's so very true. I made mention of the fact that I was the primary caregiver for my mother for the last 3.5 years of her life. And
yes.
She spent 8 months in our own home where she ended up dying. And, you know, that whole experience, and I look back on that, Lynn, I really do. I look back on that, and I don't know how I did it. But it got done, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I had two businesses to run and all this other kind of stuff, and still it got done. But the stress, I think, and the strain on those caregivers can be gigantic.
It is intense, and even if it's not completely realized. The other part of it is the stress and the strain on those who can't do it. It's not within their wheelhouse to be a caregiver.
That's right.
And they feel such guilt and when they have to get professional help brought in.
And the other thing, and ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you're listening to this because this is seminal stuff. The other thing that happens in the family dynamic is exactly what you say. There are individuals who are away or they don't wish to be caregivers, and then the inter-family squabbles start, and those can be disastrous to harmony.
Oh, yes. I took care of both of my parents toward the end of their lives here, had them move from South Dakota to Iowa.
Was a good move, by the way.
Yeah. My brother's in Chicago, and he was wonderful at wanting to keep in touch. But it isn't the same when you come down from Chicago to visit or over from Chicago to visit once every 3 months or call on the phone versus there day in and day out and at the ERs and doing what needs to be done.
Her name is Lynn Hilgenberg. We will have links to all of this on the radio blog so that you can find out more about her and maybe even start that discussion in your home about what are we going to do when the time comes nigh. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. We have got to slide aside because we have what is called the Wall Street Report. What happened today with the stock market? I can tell you, I've already looked. It was a good day. Moderately. The numbers, those are coming up next. I walk along the city.